singing joker, are you working on your self-image today? Did you make it? Has everything you've seen from all your friends made it harder to pretend that it's okay? And I know you wanna take her on a date. Only somewhere where they can't hear her name.
Kia ora and welcome to another exciting episode of KickArts, Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night at Planet FM 104.6 or live streamed at planetaudio.org.nz. Now we have a very exciting music-themed episode for you tonight. That was the new one from Daffodils. We have had them in the show about a year ago and hopefully we'll have them back very soon, maybe for our next music episode in another month or so. Actually, they were in with us a couple of weeks ago. When I say a year ago, I actually mean about 3 weeks ago. So that was fun. That was a good one to go back to, actually. The podcast is on our website.
Times convoluted podcast live. So 3 weeks, a year. Who knows?
Sorry, you'll have to...
You should cut me off. That joke was amazing.
No, it's over. Just, your mic wasn't on. You'll have to start from the beginning.
It's not going to be the same, though, is it, Georgie?
No. That was the voice of Josh from Beachwear and also Quinn the Human, otherwise known as Phoenix Guava.
In Beachwear, it's Charlie Springwater.
I didn't know that.
That's my alias. I've got so many names to make up for the fact that I've got nothing else to offer the band. Yeah! I come up with these zany names. It's like when that guy who wears a ridiculous tie to work because he's boring. That's me. I also wear a crazy tie. Crazy tie, Springwater. Yep.
One of my favourite things about Beachwear and Quinn the Human and you and just the music industry in general is how many people actually think your name is Phoenix Guava.
Yes.
Like, there's a lot of people very confused.
And at my work, of where I work in the real world, the other day, a person came by and went, "Oh, hey, Phoenix, how are you?" And it's gone, like, that's gone too far. I'm not going to say, "Oh, actually, my name's Josh," because Josh is the worst name in the world.
When I met Josh I forgot his name, and then I was like, that guy Phoenix, and then someone was like, who? And I forgot. I literally didn't know his name for like a long time. We hung out, and I still didn't know his name.
Can relate.
Built my life on a lie.
I wanted to ask a clarifying question to Josh, who referred to wearing a tie to work before, but I know that you work as a personal trainer. So I was just wondering what sort of outfits you wear.
I'm well dressed.
That is.
You don't know when the Queen's going to walk past.
It's the buff neck tight singlet with a tie on and his stubbies.
Never had to be a real tie.
Yes, that was a you know, I said like someone who wears a crazy tie to work. You know, you see those people and they wear like a zany tie. That was what I meant. But now I'm definitely going to wear a tie
a
to
zany
work.
Tie.
Like with what?
With your personal trainer outfit.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Like a stripper.
With your active wear.
Is it called active wear?
And your tie and your wild tie.
And a wild tie.
Do you have a t-shirt that's got your name on it?
No, it says personal trainer. And like it's got the big Reebok logo on it.
A question. At this stage, would you be putting Phoenix on that or Josh?
Phoenix is more American Gladiator kind of. You could really rock that.
That's
Phoenix.
Like like Thunderdome style. Like
Enter Phoenix.
I'm a personal trainer, Phoenix.
Yeah, that's got to do like flames coming out of the wall. I'm in like a June buggy through the wall. In a
Les
tie,
Mills.
Though. Yeah.
I expect nothing less from Les Mills.
Yeah.
This has gone really far.
Now everyone knows where I work.
We've got a lot of voices going on that we haven't introduced yet. We've already had you, Josh, Phoenix Carver. If everyone could just introduce themselves, where they're from in terms of where they're involved in the music industry, which is why they're here with us tonight on this very special music-themed episode. And also their nickname. Do you want to start over here, Alex?
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, please share your new DJ name.
My new DJ name is Danger Mom. Yeah, that's right. Danger Mom.
That's so good.
Yeah, Danger Mom. That's pretty good. I recently had a little baby boy, so I'm definitely Danger Mom. Anyway, I'm Alex. I am from the band Beachwear. I'm like, you know, I blanked on like who else I am. That I guess that's just my identity now.
You're
Danger Mom.
Danger Mom. Where does the danger part? Are you, is it because you're a dangerous mum?
Yeah, I guess living on the. No, I'm like the opposite of Danger Mom. Should really be like Helicopter Mom. No, it's not. It's not. I'm not a helicopter
safe mom.
Yes, yeah,
and literally
mom.
Because we were discussing because of we'll be doing the DJ set, which we'll talk about later. That Alex needed a DJ name, and I just said. First word should be danger.
And I said the second word should be mom.
And that was a beautiful, it came to be.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
In harmony, very easily.
Anyway, that's me.
Tis I.
Julia.
Whoa, hello. Josh.
Josh, that's really annoying. That's Josh just playing with a microphone.
Hello, my name is Julia. I am a newly... A new addition to Beachwear.
Yes, you are.
Sometimes I play the guitar. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's.
You sing a lot.
Got any nicknames?
No.
That's a lie.
All right, tell us. Tell us, Phoenix.
We call her King's Plant Barn.
Yeah, there's also Run the Jewels. That's her nickname.
Oh, that's a good one.
Run the Jewels.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
Is that my name in the Beachwear group chat?
Yeah. It is.
Nice.
Oh, because you can
don't tell anyone about
name.
That chat.
Yeah.
Can I join the chat?
You don't really want to.
You don't be in there.
There's a lot of talking about nothing in there.
It's a big old waste of time.
There's probably like carbon emissions coming from that chat somehow. Yeah.
I just like to have access to different bands' social profiles because then I use their profiles to like things at my for my own advantage. Quinn the Human.
Are you still logged into that? Well, no one else uses it. So
I'm still logged into it.
Can you do that for my other band?
Yeah.
Then I don't have to do it.
Obviously, well, not obviously, but I know, before I knew you as from Beachwear, I knew you as from Lexa.
Hmm. Yeah. Tell us about Lexa.
Which is just like a very cool local pop. Would you do pop?
Yeah. It's pop. It's pretty pop.
How many times would you call it pop if you were to describe it as pop? Because I just described it as pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
I reckon at least one more, so four,
pop,
I reckon.
Pop. They're a pop band.
Yeah.
I don't know, four feels awkward.
Yeah. With like it kind of does. Maybe we'll stick to three.
I think three.
But it's also like, you know, when someone asks you about some kind of obscure band and you're like, oh, they're like this kind of folky, like indie kind of a rock kind of country band. It's kind of like that with how many pop. It's like, it's, yeah, they're it's pop, like a pop kind of a band, yeah, like that.
It's a quite 80s like vibe.
It is. Though. It's like 80s pop it's with like, guitars.
It's like we're inspired by 80s inspired music.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not quite 80s, but it's like inspired by people who were inspired by the 80s.
Would you be offended if people started calling you Julia Roberts?
She's cool, so.
Yeah, sweet.
She's great.
I'm just putting some new nicknames out there.
I was thinking the Crown Jewels or Family
Jewels. Yeah, yeah, Crown Jewels, we've done Crown Jewels. Excellent. Yes. Yep. Good thinking. Mm. Good thinking.
I've had a lot of names in that group chat. Mm-hmm. We go through we them all pretty have. Quick.
Yeah. And if you know, it's one of those classic, like, you do a typo, you say one thing wrong, you write one word incorrectly, and that's your nickname. Rob, so get used to it.
Rob's nickname is now, like, D-O-O-O-K-P-E, because he tried to write dope, and, yeah, like, somehow got a K in there, so now it's like, dope.
And that's why that chat is terrible, and you don't want to be in it.
Yeah,
that's like, we've got, so Jake from Joe's Van, who's also here.
Woo!
Say hello, hey. Jake.
Kia ora, kia ora.
I'm just putting your nicknames out there, otherwise known as Young Mate.
Young Mate, yeah, that's the one.
It's because we have the absolute pleasure of sometimes Jake comes into the RockQuest office and works with us. Now,
only sometimes. They're a bit too much to deal with otherwise.
Our boss, otherwise known as, hey, I'm your favorite person. The first day that Jake came and worked with us, I was the only employee at this point, and I was feeling a bit not sure about it. So I wanted to assert my dominance. So I keep saying. So
yeah, let's just before you say this. Obviously, knew Matt from RockQuest, so knew him for quite a while.
Joe's Van won RockQuest still about what 4 or 5 years ago?
2015, yeah. So I came back and started working for RockQuest. And the first day, Georgia was there for the interviewing process, which was quite intimidating for myself, but. Yeah, the first day of the office, I sit down in my little corner of the office and start doing some work, getting some stuff sorted with my life, and out of absolutely nowhere, Georgia puts on Celine Dion or something, as loud as she can, dances her ass off to it, and then proceeds me to tell, on my very first day of meeting her entire love life up to that point.
From square one.
Shedding no detail.
What an intro.
I don't remember not that, missing, but that does sound like me.
Not missing a single detail, sexual or not.
oh, no.
And this was, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I want to hear George's
talk about story. Talking about breaking the ice.
Yeah.
No, but I'd also started your day with, I had been waiting to, like, figure out when you were coming down. We'd all been, like, listening out for it so I could put your band on the stereo as you came in.
That's right.
And then the whole day I kept going, hey Jake, and then he'd look up and I'd be like making him watch me dance. I'd be like, hey, watch this, and then doing dancing. And then I made an employee of the month sign and put my own face on it and stuck it with
can I work with
it.
You
and then I took that same photo.
I just feel like that would work.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's pretty fun. From that point on it became just a constant,
he knows
how can
boss.
I screw with Georgia?
It's not me.
So, yeah, perfect example, as she said. She put up an Employee of the Month photo. I photoshopped that into a greatest employee of all time photo with my own face on it.
It's the same photo of me, just with his face. And he did a really good job. It was impressive.
I know I did a good job. I'm the man.
Tess Parker.
And that's that. And that is that.
Tess Parker, what's your favourite nickname? For yourself.
The frustrating thing about having a name like Tess is it's hard to make into a nickname, but I've got a few.
Hey Tess, I'm just going to quickly turn off your microphone so you can move it up more towards your mouth. Is that better? Oh yeah, cool. Now try.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Cool.
Brilliant.
Great job.
I have a few nicknames, mainly Parker-based ones. Parker.
Really?
Tron. Paxma.
Oh my gosh. Something really frustrating happened the other day, guys. Wait, just one second while I bring it up on YouTube. Someone tell a joke.
Well, I said you could be Tesseract.
Tesseract, hey, Tessellate, T-Rex,
yeah,
T-Dolph for a little while.
What's that?
It's Adolf, but
with I thought that's what it was.
Yeah. I did not get that at all. Somebody was typing
my name at the bottom of an email.
I feel like I missed out on this conversation by not sharing my nicknames. I feel like I've got heaps, but I didn't want to share them. But now I feel like now I'm having FOMO.
Get in there, then.
I love talking about myself. Got Jupiter. My uncle calls me Jupiter. It's a good one.
Where does that come from? Yeah. Why?
Because you're out of this world.
Oh. Oh,
guys. That's what in the office we like to call a Jakenism, which is basically any kind of a dad joke Jake will do, but also sometimes Jake gets words wrong. Let's just wait for Jake to get some Jakenisms this.
Oh, no.
All right.
He's really, really good. Like, what's my favourite one is, don't want to toot my own hoon.
That's good. That's really good.
That's so good. Look at him owning it, too. He's like, yeah, I do that.
All right, we can talk about Tess again now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I've got my really terrible thing to tell everyone about.
Did you get Testarossa? Like the Ferrari?
Hey, that's good.
Yeah, Tess, good.
Not until this moment.
Well, from now on,
Tesla's.
I will literally never call
I'm
you anything
call you
else.
Tesla now.
Tesla Late was good. We call Tesla. It Tifers.
Tifers.
Or Tipa.
I was thinking Tipac.
I get a few different ones.
That's kind of like my son. We call him Lil T.
Yeah.
Oh,
cute.
Yeah, his name's Theodore.
Oh, Teddy. Lil T, I love that.
Yeah, both my parents who are divorced and do not talk call him Teddy.
Do they not know that
like
the other
most
one
parents, right? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah, yeah.
No,
I was raised by wolves, so I don't know.
Just bark it out. Yeah.
Hey, Georgia.
Yeah.
I just really like you to tell me a story.
But this is good. So it's actually not that good. So I started my own business. It's called Park Up. Because my surname is Parker. This somebody is else came up with it. They were like, call it Park Up. And I was like, that's great. Then I realized the other day, so just going to put it on the background here. Tess and my dad, in 92, the year we were born, had a number one hit. And it was this song. It's Tears on My Pillow. And the name of the project was called The Parker Project. Was that not a missed opportunity for me to call my business The Parker Project?
Definitely a missed opportunity.
Shut it down.
How good is the song? Should we just listen to it? Let's just listen to it out. I'm putting it on. David Parker, The Parker Project. Tears on My Pillow. Here we go. Everyone back into the studio because we've just had a very exciting development which is worth actually stopping that song for. Julia's just told us something that I really wish she had told us earlier because I feel like we could have talked about this before now. Her dad was in this band. The Dudes.
I can't hear it.
What does your dad play in The Dudes?
He played guitar.
That is so cool.
And wrote the songs.
That is so cool. Wait, what? But he's not, your dad's not Dave Dobbin.
No. My dad's not Dave Dobbin.
Oh, or is that?
It's not.
So this has become a dad-a-thon. I mean, my dad's pretty cool, but I'm sorry, but your dad was in The Dirt. So we're now going to not finish my dad's song, but actually play your dad's song, which is Be My Tonight by The Dirt. Thanks, everyone, for joining us for that exciting development.
You lit me, you picked me, I'm wrapped.
that was some of the dudes as a part of our section tonight on Dad Wars. Definitely in the running. Now this is the new one from Joe's Van. This is Misty, and when we come back, Jake, you can tell us about it. It's a great track. He's going. Jake, we're always going to play your song. It's a great song. He said, cool, cool. Cool, cool. Loves it. Your mic's not on. Okay, here's Misty from Joe's Van. That was the new one from Joe's Van. It's so good.
So good.
Thank you.
So that one's been in the works for a little while, eh, Jake?
Yeah. We kind of, we spent about a year recording that.
Where did you record it?
We did it at Lab with Ollie, can't remember Ollie's last name. But yeah, at Lab. And that was cool, but, yeah, we recorded it first time, and then we were like, this is average, let's do it again. And then it was like, it's average, let's do it again.
What was it about it that you weren't quite happy with that is in the new recording?
A lot of it changed. It was more melodically and lyrically that we changed a lot of stuff. Just trying to not write about silly shit. Magic mushrooms and all sorts of nonsense.
Okay, so the song... In reference to the song's called Shroomy Sam. It's a song that you actually won RockQuest with.
Yeah.
That everybody thinks is about magic mushrooms. But it's not actually about magic mushrooms.
No.
Because people, when I say to them, I'm like, nah, it's not actually about magic mushrooms. They're like, yeah, that's what they told you, I bet. But
yeah.
It actually is. Well, but actually, it's not.
I can fully see why people thought of that due to our image at the time. We were just surfer. Stoner Mount Kids. It's brilliant. But the song was actually a perfect description of it. The song we wrote was about these mushrooms that in the States this company called Ecovative were harvesting mushrooms, fermenting them and letting them solidify, and then molding them and shaping them into surfboards. And then coating them with this biodegradable resin. Long story short, the process to make a surfboard is quite harmful and chemical, and with all the polyurethane and everything else that is poured in. And so our guitarist saw this and was like, oh man, it's awesome that there's something that's biodegradable, so I'm going to throw some lyrics into a song, but kind of hint to the druggy side of it, but then kind of not. And then, yeah.
So it's actually just about surfboards.
It's about surfboards, but the next 2 years of my life were brilliant, getting asked how many shrooms I've done.
And how many people you taught about how harmful surfboard production can be, because I didn't know that it could be so harmful, so that's
bad. Yeah, well, I wish that was the case, but it was more just people being like, what are shrooms like? And I was like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I was surfing, man. So, yeah. Cool. When you're young.
So this is Missy is your fourth single. Yeah, because you've done Phil and Wonder.
Yeah, yep, yeah, yep, I think so.
So that's what, over the last four or five years?
Yeah, too long.
Yeah, what's your plan next? Because Misty's had some really great traction. It's got quite a few thousand listens on Spotify, which is just for any local band who have done very minimal promo. Because like, that is right, that you guys have just put it out there, really.
Yeah.
And you've got a following, you've got fans, and they've just started listening to it, which is great, which is the case, I think, when you just start releasing good music.
Yeah, it's been...
But there's a buzz.
We've been pretty lucky, eh? I mean, I think the three of us are pretty useless in general. Just with everything else in life, we don't really publicise or kick our own asses into gear very often. Especially after RockQuest, so we spent... I mean, that's pretty much been it. Four songs, we did a few tours and stuff, but just taking it easy, taking it slow. And then we all came up to university and moved into different cities and whatnot, and so it got even slower, and it was just a bit harder to pump some stuff out. But yeah, pretty happy that we managed to all get back in the same city and do something cool, have a little jam and collectively create this one, which was awesome.
Music is kind of hard to I guess sustain in that sense, like when you're trying to have a project like that and then you're all doing lots of different things, and music doesn't necessarily pay well, so it's like, yeah, you're trying to do these projects on money that you are earning.
Absolutely.
And to go to a place like the lab, like you're putting money into it, and you're trying to study at the same time, so yeah, it's like, it's hard. So
yeah, and I mean, we were together for, I moved up here in end of 2016, 2017, and at that stage we'd been together 13 years, and so that was literally the first time that we hadn't lived 500 metres away from each other. Wow. Let alone done anything.
Wait, so how old did that make you when you became a band?
6, 7. Yeah, yeah. So we did our first RockQuest when we were 9.
Just goes to show, though, like, if you... I think a huge part of actually producing really good music is about that hard work.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's something that Jeremy Rebel from Midnight Youth, he's done a bunch of mentoring work with people around me, and the one thing that I hear him say over and over and over again, because it's relevant to everyone, is he talks about when Midnight Youth were at the height of their fame, they were treating it like a full-time job. They were rehearsing 40 hours a week, and yeah, they'd do their set lists back to front, and they'd like make it fun, like they'd be like, now we're gonna do it reggae, now we're gonna do it ska, yeah, now we're gonna do it metal, you know, so but they knew it, they, you know, but it's like actually spending that time, those hours together makes a huge difference.
Well, he actually said the same thing to us. We would have been 12 years old, and they played at the Tauranga East, they have this festival called Summerfest, and it was like a 2-year thing, and Midnight Youth headlined it with Stan Walker and our drummer pardon me, our drummer knew the guitarist, Simon. I think his mum taught him in preschool or something. And so we got to go backstage with Jeremy and stuff, and they handed out us Monster energy drinks. And that was the first time we'd ever seen energy drinks. We were like, oh, this is mean. So, yeah, it was mean as. And then, yeah, we were just chilling backstage with him, and he said the exact same thing. He's like, if you guys want to do it, just, like, even though we were young as, like, keep it as a full-time thing. Like, just commit, like, you can do your other stuff later. Just give it a good crack while you can, and while you're not tied down with jobs and this and that. Which is so true, because, you know, as soon as we moved up here and we got jobs and uni and everything else, mm-hmm, and other projects, and so you're writing for this other stuff or practicing for this other stuff, and finding time to dedicate to one thing is like, oh man, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's huge.
But yeah, so it was pretty fun. Pretty fun to get something out there again and start gigging again.
which is cool.
I've heard you have a very exciting gig coming up.
I do. There's this new company that's just started up called the Park Up Collective.
They should be called the Parker Project. But
they should be called the Parker Project.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah, so we're playing that awesome gig with, I think, Beach, where you guys are coming along.
DJ set. I think this is going to be... Is it your first ever DJ set?
It is.
That'll be so sick.
Together.
That's like what bands do when they're really big.
Yeah.
They do DJ sets.
Well, what are you saying? They are really
big. We're here.
Our two outfits, and then Sam Cullen and Gretel's bringing a band as well, eh?
Yep.
And that should be awesome. It's going to be real fun. And
Portland Public House. And we're going to...
So thick.
We're going to go live. It's awesome. It's free. We'll probably kick off around 8 o'clock. It's going to actually be great. Yeah, so Sam Cullen, he's a great solo performer. He's one of those people who can just fill a room, but it's just him performing, and that's just so, so impressive. I think he's really one of a kind in terms of, like, the New Zealand music industry right now. So we're flying him up from Wellington. He's going to open up the show, then Gretel and her band, and Joe's Van headlining.
So you can probably skip the Joe's Van set and then come back for Beach, and it'll be a great night.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing.
Oh, same.
Yeah, and then Beach, we're going to close the night with a DJ set, which I'm really excited about.
Bring a whistle, glow sticks.
Yep.
Yeah, there's going to be a smoke machine. There's going to be fireworks.
I'm not providing any of these things, am I?
Well, I was told you were.
Yeah.
I'm actually not coming if there's no fireworks.
I thought you were the man dressed as the canoe.
He's going to be, face painting.
Please put it on the poster, Joe's Van as the canoe. Yes. Great.
I'm also excited because what I didn't even think about when I was like, Beachwear should definitely do a DJ set. I didn't even think about that James actually works, like his job is working with DJ equipment.
Yeah. So
James legit knows how to DJ.
Yeah.
He's going to bring lights, I reckon.
I was imagining you guys like with just someone with their iPhone and Spotify. Like what I do SoundCloud here on DJs. This radio show.
Tunes will be mixed, beats will be slayed. Like,
pump it up.
Don't oversell.
Do you guys want to know a fun fact about my life?
Yes.
Fun fact about my life. So James McDonald of Beachwear, I would say, is my best friend.
Cute. So
he's a great guy. He's a 10 out of 10 man, and we became friends at a Joe's Van gig.
No way.
This is just really full circle.
I know. Right. Yeah, and I took my friend Olivia. Oh, I should have kept her nameless, who I was working with at the time, and she was so into you guys. She genuinely didn't stop talking about you until I finished working there about a year later.
Brilliant.
Yep.
What gig was that?
It was at Whammy Backroom. Who else was playing that show?
It was Brother Sister.
And Daffodils. And Daffodils.
Oh, it was such a cool show. It was the first time we ever saw Brother Sister as well, and they played Last Christmas, which was great. I would say that song is up there with songs like Burn For You by John Farnham.
She got it, didn't
Tess. Tell us more about that song.
After she said it, I think we should hear that, because that's such a good song. Just personally.
Just do you guys know that song?
No.
Just
it's a beautiful song. Can we play Burn For You by John Farnham? And I said,
very good song.
Sure, Tess, if you can find a way to put it in. I was going to play some Julia Jacklin and start talking about the Laneway lineup. So what I'm going to do is I will play Burn For You.
Thank you.
Because it is a great song.
It's a really good breakup song.
And then I'm going to... I'm going to go into a Julia Jacklin because for me she is the highlight of the new Laneway lineup.
I completely agree with that.
She is just spectacular.
Highlight. She's got a great name.
Oh,
she does. I don't know if this is going to be fair on her. I don't think you should follow any song with a song as high caliber as Burn For You.
You're kind of shooting her in the foot before she's even hit the runway, really.
Kind of a small break in between.
Where we could just take a moment.
What about this?
Really feel
30 seconds
what's
silence.
Going on.
What about this? Instead, put your headphones on.
This isn't Burn For You.
I think it's better.
It's a ruse.
I'm confused. This has a completely different emotional sentiment.
Okay, but what if we just listen to the part with the horns? This part.
I like it that you know exactly where
that was actually a fluke. There's some dancing going on.
I think my wife was jamming this the other day.
Dude, I get we dance in the same way.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. You guys are so cool.
Okay, now I'm going to do a super sweet fade into Burn For You. This one goes out to all the heartbroken out there. Today I was going to go out on a date with a boy and then he never texted me back. This one doesn't go out to him. It goes out to the boy that I went out on a date with instead, who is actually a lot cooler. Yeah, that's my story.
Just an example of Georgia in the workplace.
It's been so long since I've seen your face. This distance between me and you, that voice you showed me is not the one that I know. I must be strung out on what I do. Don't hang up again. There's nothing else I know how to do. But I burn for you. What am I gonna do? Burn for you. I guess it feels like you're always alone, and I feel that way too. It's so hard to explain to you. Please understand what I do. I burn for you. What am I gonna do? I burn for you. Burn for you. Took my trouble to a bar tonight for another point of view, but there's nothing new. I'm missing you. I burn.
Thank you.
stay friends this way. I want this feeling to pass in time.
Keep Loving You by Julia Jacklin. That is off her 2019, this year, album, Crushing, which is absolutely stunning. Would really recommend having a whole listen to that. It's quite possibly, I assumed that it was actually last year, it must have been early this year, quite possibly my favourite release of this year, now I come to think of it.
She's amazing.
She's stunning.
Very cool, buddy.
And she, have you seen her live?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I've heard that it's great.
She's awesome.
She would be. She'd be like really quality.
Cool. She is on the Laneway lineup, so that's coming Auckland anniversary weekend, must be, to about a month into next year. The Laneway lineup, I thought it was good. That was right. That was my feeling.
I thought it was really good. The thing that I like the most about the Laneway lineup is I feel like you get this discourse around Laneway every year where all of the people that loved it 10 years ago were like, well, you know, it's not what it used to be. And it's like, well, actually, New Zealand bands are different and the demand is different. And if you don't want to go, that's absolutely fine. Just don't go. But you don't have to be an asshole about
it.
No,
I don't think so.
And I feel like this lineup, actually, I thought you worded it really perfectly earlier, Georgia, where you said this lineup is for pop fans with an indie inclination or indie fans with a pop inclination. And there's going to be someone there for anything. There's some really cool New Zealand bands going. I think Soaked Oats are a really cool add-on. That's the 1975 are an awesome headline band. Man. They're so much fun and they're just super cool and... I'm into the lineup because you're not going to be surrounded by people who are too cool to be there.
And there's some good indie cards as well. The Chats, although they recently came, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, the same thing that they have been before. They came to Laneway a couple of years ago, but a lot of people have missed that. And it'll still be magic in Albert Park. I think that I'd buy a Laneway ticket every year. I always know that it's going to be good. And one of the cool things is that I get to go and see a bunch of pop. And then I can also go to Nest Fest if you're really into like the indie stuff. And that will cater to your indie needs as well. Not that they haven't released the lineup for that yet, but that's kind of become like New Zealand's real indie festival. So it'll be good. That was my thoughts on it anyway.
Good thoughts.
Do you guys have some thoughts?
Well, one of the great things about going to anything, like festivals in particular, is like wandering around and finding stuff you haven't listened to before, right? And seeing cool things as well.
Yeah, so, like you end up at a stage and you're like, thank God I'm here.
And people always hate on everything, as you said. Like, and I think that's cyclical in terms of not just music festivals or Laneway, like TV, music, food, I don't know, whatever. People always like, oh, it's not as good as it used to be. So they always, it's always going to happen. But like you said, just don't go.
That's how you feel.
Just shut up.
Same as like, say the imagery of 1975. Like, great band, amazing band. But then the image, because they're like, they're a ZM artist or whatever you're thinking, you know, like, it's like Bieber kind of
ostracized for being successful. Yeah, it's a very strange thing.
If you don't actually listen to their stuff, especially like their new stuff, which is completely different to their old stuff, but still, it's like that amazing life, amazing band. And then you'll have heaps of people that be going to Laneway and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go see King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. They're amazing. There I am coming to see, I won't go see 1975. They'll walk away being like, oh man, these guys are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Having, like, that's what Laneway's about.
Why do people hate pop music?
Yeah, it's very strange.
It's literally pop because it's popular and people like it.
Well, it's pop. You learn.
Exactly. I don't get it.
Trying to sort of be like, but look how interesting I am. Yeah, I don't know. I love pop. Yeah. I think pop is amazing.
I'm more interesting because I don't like what everyone else likes.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's drilled into us from such a young age of being like, are you unique enough?
And we're not really that different. Like, no, I was thinking something about the Spotify algorithm because the algorithm is amazing. Like the Discover Weekly, if anyone uses Spotify, it comes up with, for the listener who may not know, it comes up with based on what you listen to.
Yeah.
Songs to listen to, new releases.
It's awesome.
And I was talking to somebody about this, and they were, who knew a bit more than I did, and said, like, there's actually not that much to it because we're all not really that different. Like, and it's like, yeah, but we try to be like, I'm so cool.
Yeah.
Because when I listen to King Gizzard and make sure that I put the speaker underwater, and then I sit outside. Like, yeah, it's like we're all the same, really. It's very odd. King Gizzard are awesome, though. Saw them at that Laneway.
So good.
Man.
I was going to say something, but I've forgotten. Do you guys have a summer like festival that you particularly look forward to? Maybe not.
I would have said Laneway. Yeah, I would have. We're already there. We're already on the topic.
I actually haven't been to a festival in a long time. I don't know why.
What do you reckon,
Jack? I've forgotten the name of it, but
Homegrown is great. Because it's like a big little family and we're all like hanging out together and everyone's friends.
I would love to go to Homegrown.
Homegrown's really great.
I like how they've got the different stages are kind of genre as well. Yeah. So you can actually like for me, I'd probably go between all of them. But actually, if you're just like super into the rock, and that's mm-hmm. all you want to go to listen to. You could actually just stay at that stage yeah. of a day or whatever it was. They are really good, I think, in terms of actually having a good, diverse lineup.
Yes.
Too. Yeah. I always am super impressed with their lineup.
They I'd really love to go to WOMAD. Yeah. I'd love just to experience WOMAD. Just all that world music would just like...
It's pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah. That'd be amazing. Mm. I'd love to take Theo and my wife and just go and camp and put like little baby headphones on.
Yeah.
Carry them around in the front pack.
Yeah.
Who's going to be wearing the baby headphones? You or
Theodore. But also maybe I... No. I need to hear it.
Jake, do you remember the name of this festival?
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking either Homegrown or One Love in Saranga. Which is more, it's a lot more reggae, R&B kind of based stuff.
Can you get down with the reggae, Jack?
Oh, I love, well, I was brought up on reggae and blues and funk, so kind of it's just the roots. But that's a really cool festival. Everyone kind of just, it's one of the only festivals I've been to where, this year just gone, there was a massive wire, and so the whole crowd was singing like and nothing. It was like, yeah, everyone can sing the same song, but collectively a crowd singing something that like no artist was playing, fire up.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
That's just real amazing.
It's probably the most positive festival I've seen.
Yeah,
in terms of like you bump into someone and they're just like, all good.
Yeah,
that makes a big difference. That's what I love about Splore. Like,
well, yeah,
that there's a lot of like love and care for the people that are around you.
Mm.
People like genuinely seem just stoked to be there with everybody. There's just this appreciation.
Yeah, it changes everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Just. I've been really lucky because there aren't many music festivals that I've been to more than once. So it's kind of hard to answer that question.
Mm.
But I've been to a lot of music festivals that like I went for just the right moment, and probably my best moment of this year was at the Tisarangi Music Festival earlier in the year, and there was a little stage outside the main hall where they were playing a bunch of different bands for free and like loads of families and stuff, and SJD played, and I've always loved SJD, but thought it was one of those acts where I just like wasn't sort of super sure how many people were going to turn up and how many people were going to be into it, particularly at like 6:30 on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many people. It was this like little tent, and it was absolutely packed out. And SJD was just so amazing, so on point. And everybody not only was there, but totally tuned up to see him and was singing to all the songs. And like he's got, I don't know if you're familiar with the stuff, but he's got a song that was quite famous called Superman, You're Crying. And one of the main lyrics is about Superman. And everyone was doing Superman, like Superman hands. Oh. And doing it all together, all these little kids, and just everyone was from a different age. And it was one of those, and I was there with my big sister and my dad, and we all love SJD, and it was one of those really cool experiences where you are completely part of a community, and I think that's really special, and probably very maybe a similar to feeling to One Love, the One Love Waiata, that you couldn't have timed it better, and you could see that he was just absolutely stoked and blown away. And it's, when music perfectly connects to every person that's there, it's just so cool. I would always rather do that than, like, go to a massive show and see just because I'm so hip.
You're pretty trendy.
I hate lame
ones.
I think that's what every musician dreams about, though, those moments, whether it's big or small. So, nailed it.
Connective.
It was really cool. You, as Beachwear, have had a pretty awesome achievement recently. Can you tell us about your RNZ moment?
That was amazing.
So good. I actually tried to find it just before, but I can't find it because they've only got the little snippet within the whole clip.
Yes.
But it will be. It will be coming out soon.
It will be coming out soon at the end of the year.
Which is that you won the RNZ Christmas song competition.
That's correct.
Did. Yeah, what an amazing competition to win.
There were a lot of great.
There were so many
great songs.
Wow, like I was listening on the day to all of those songs, all these incredible musicians, and just going,
well, that's good.
Just whoa. Wow.
And then we won.
That was a great song.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
James wrote it.
Yes.
And he did a great job.
He did a wonderful
job. It's basically about, like, going home for Christmas and...
But, yeah.
Your family is slightly judging you a little bit for, like, you know, your tattoos and your...
Life choices.
People have grandparents who are a bit, like racist and it's really awkward.
And it's like, yeah.
You're stuck there. And you have to come together and, like, everyone buys each other this plastic shit that we don't need.
Yeah.
But you have to come together in this sort of community.
But it's still nice, you know.
And So we took a different angle, I think, perhaps.
But it's a great song and it's got a great hook. There's this line, "But you still want me around?" It's the line, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's actually super heartwarming, this idea that it's like, and it's so relatable that we are, like, people, they're flawed. Families, they're flawed. You go along and you're like just trying to get along a little bit, but actually ultimately you are really enjoying each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
You still want me around. It's so sweet.
It's really fun. And we're going to be recording that. Amazing job, James. I actually really enjoyed James singing on the demo. I really like that.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
He's got a good voice.
He's great.
It's interesting.
He can do everything though.
He can. He's such a...
We were just talking before, actually, Alex and I in the car here, that how he dresses me.
He's like one of those people
he just puts my pants on for me. He can do everything.
He's our family coming.
He's one of those people that's just like good at everything. Really good at everything.
Like,
because he's like not just like average at everything, but just like good at everything.
Mm-hmm. He taught me how to drive when no one else could. At the age of 25, I refused to take driving lessons from anyone else because everyone else would scream. And James would sit in the car with me and just not say anything.
Because he's got this bizarre, freaky amount of patience. I don't know how he does that. He's dealt with me for like well over 10 years. So there you go.
And that has him at breaking point.
Yeah, that is the main reason. That's why his hair fell out. So someone could be walking along the street and a piano could like land on them and like crush their legs and you'd be like, oh, well, this is awkward. And James would come along and go, ah, it's all right. I just know how to deal with this and like put them back together, reconstructive surgery, and they'd be on their way.
He
just knows how to deal with it.
And that's our James.
Yeah. He's a super, super smart man.
He really is.
James McDonald from Beachwear, everyone.
The
beating everything heart of Beachwear.
I started
Beachwear.
A clap and no one joined. Sorry, James.
Well, I don't know if he deserves that much. Well, now I've got to join him.
And on that note, here's some Beachwear. This is Want Somebody. cracks me up how you guys don't know the end of your own song.
I know the beginning of one now, am I right?
What?
Yeah, well, I do panic.
A finger gun that you
I panic.
It's what I do all day long. Hey.
That's a great song. It's a great song, though. What, somebody on a beach with? What's next for beach with?
There's a lot coming up, actually. Like,
well, I'm missing out because I'm going away, but.
Only for the beginning of it. We have a lot going on.
There's like about 5 shows in the 2 weeks that I'm gone.
Yeah. One of them I don't know if we can talk about yet. So we just won't talk about that yet.
So does that mean there's an exciting announcement to come soon?
There is an exciting announcement.
Where will we see about this exciting announcement?
Well, if it happens, probably our Instagram.
What's your Instagram?
It's at Beachwear Band.
Beachwear Band.
We have a Facebook page.
Yes.
Don't know what that is.
That's just, I think that's just all night beachwear. And we also have a website, www.beachwearmusic.com, and you can find all of our like updates, our news, our tour stuff,
like
show
and
dates. Yeah, like and subscribe.
What's up, YouTube? Yeah, no. So we're supporting Mousy.
That's going to be really fun. So
she is wicked.
Yes. She is great.
So we're playing her Auckland show, the Raglan show.
Yeah, so
I'm
the
sorry,
fourth.
The Raglan.
Raglan and the Tauranga one.
Yes. I think it's actually Ragland.
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 Is it Tauranga or is it
Tauranga.
The mount?
Tauranga. Is the mount?
It's Tauranga.
That's a great question and one that I'm glad you asked.
That's Raglan. Yacht Club is Raglan. So we're playing there on the 4th and then on the 5th we're in Auckland, we're at the Wine Cellar. And then on the 6th we're in Tauranga at...
Totara Street?
Let's find out. Let's do some quick Facebook.
We're just asking
I'm blaming Baby Brain. I don't know what your guys' excuse is.
On the projector in the back of the room.
On the projector in the back of
Jam
the room.
Factory.
Jam Factory.
It's at the Jam Factory.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. So if you're also hungry,
eat some jam. Do they make jam there?
Down in the historic village. It's a cool place. There's a donut shop that does like these, you know, I don't know, there's a store up here that does them as well. There's massive ass milkshakes and they're hard shakes, so the vodka and stuff on the bottom.
Hello.
Well, they call it like freak shake.
It's massive ass, and then they put like 2 donuts on the top, and then the syringe in the donut that's got more like alcohol and
the
caramel.
What?
Syringe.
It says
syringe. That was I've been waiting for a Jakenism.
I think we just got one.
Sure.
Was it
okay?
It's different. It's a syringe. It's different to a syringe. It's like
come on, George.
The one I found out this morning. A nation of alligators is an allegation. Yeah, there's another one for you.
What?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
That's also a band name.
Album name.
I don't understand what that means.
As a nation of alligators. As an allegation.
Alligators.
Just thinking about the Jam Factory, though. Yeah, I just figured, right? Because there's also in Whangarei, there's the Old Stone Butter Factory, right? You could do like a food venue tour.
Yeah.
We just figure out.
Why not?
Yeah. It would be brilliant. At least
wine
two
cellar?
Shows.
Does that count?
Wine cellar.
Wine cellar.
Yeah, it definitely counts. Definitely
yes.
Counts.
Yes.
And that's all I've got.
The stomach?
Yeah, there you go. That all works. Be brilliant.
I'm trying to think of...
Beachwear and Joe Vanagon.
Trying to think of a Christchurch or a Dunedin
we'll
related...
make James organise it. It'll be fine. Hasn't got much on his plate.
Oh, no.
He's had one clap. He's had his
Yeah, so we've got... Just to get back on track, we've got the Mousy part of her tour. And she's amazing. Like, if you haven't checked her out, like, please do. Because I've been listening. I've been jamming Extreme Highs a lot. It's just her track.
We also got a... NZ On Air funding grant for a song that we wrote for a video.
Mm-hmm.
So we also got a video coming up.
There's also another show we forgot about.
There's one on the
28th.
That is with Kicking Roses.
Same things at the same time.
I'm so sorry.
Is that at Portland?
Yeah. Kicking Roses is a new publication thing. And they're putting on a show.
They're doing a zine release.
Toehill's little
yes.
company business thingy.
Yes.
It's real cool.
It is awesome.
They make six zines.
Yes, they do.
Zines.
Zines.
So they're doing a zine release, and they're doing that in conjunction with Walking in My Shoes Foundation.
I think
if I'm not wrong, which I'm probably not because I'm not wrong that often, the physical zine is unfortunately not going to be ready by the show. So they're going to have to push that back. But they're putting on the show anyway.
Cool.
So...
and it'll be fun.
We'll be there.
We will. I won't be there, but the rest of the band will be there.
We will. And we'll miss you.
That's going to be a cool show. And then there's also that sick DJ set that you guys are doing on the 12th of October.
Which I'll be there for. So.
And we're in the middle of recording then as well.
So yeah, we're recording, so we also have
new singles. Recording the Christmas song that we won the competition for.
And some other, some new songs we've curated and got together in there. Polished up, ready to go, which would be really cool. So, and hopefully those things will all start to trickle out around the end of the year into next
year. So you've got a really exciting couple of months coming up.
We have a huge couple of months.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
If you had to describe your live act in one word, but each of you have to choose your own independent word, and you're not allowed, you've got maybe 10 seconds to think about it, and you're not allowed to communicate with each other before you say this word.
Oh. Does it have to be one word?
Yeah, just one word.
Okay, I've only played one show, but I can't think of one word.
Okay, I think you've got a fresh take.
My word is eye contact, because me and Josh just stare at each other the whole time.
In rehearsal as well.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I've seen you rehearse once, and you really do.
I don't know what... Well, actually, it's not
because we stand opposite... Yeah, I don't stare at him, I stare at
his... It stares at my hands,
and so I know what I'm doing, because I have to look at him, because I don't know how to play the songs.
No, because she stares at my hand, and then she shakes her head in this disapproving fashion. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just trying, please believe me. But no, just stares at the keys.
Sounds stressful.
Yeah, it's stressful.
Band What's dynamics. Your one word, Josh?
Mine would be swashbuckling.
Are you going to explain?
Because it's just like, there's all sorts going on, there's lots of action, you know, it's a really swashbuckling set, like, you know, it's just good energy to it, yeah.
I don't know if I can follow that. Like, swashbuckling is pretty,
That was the first word that came to my head.
I want to say this, but it's in the most loving way possible, but a little awkward.
Okay.
Yeah. But in, like, that lovingly Kiwi...
Oh, like Elizabeth,
sort of like, it's like
when you go see the Beast, you know that Elizabeth Stokes is going to do some real awkward banter, and you're going to love it.
Oh, but she's hilarious!
I love her so much. I love her banter. Oh. It makes me so happy.
Yeah, I just love her as a human being.
Stage banter is hard as well. Like Lex's stage banter is all just like lame twin jokes.
That's great.
Stage banter is hard.
I just shouldn't.
What lovably tips for stage banter? If you had some tips for stage banter, what would they be?
Don't leave the room. Don't.
Just leave it alone and throw it in the corner and never touch it.
Do you not banter at all?
You've heard me open my mouth. I think it's best if that doesn't happen in front of 30 people in a room.
So I don't
30 people in a room. You've been playing some big shows, Jake.
5 people in a room. I was thinking of a number bigger than the 7 of us here, 6 of us here.
I think it was like contextual, because if you're like someone like, I don't know, Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, people want to hear you talk.
You're definitely going to have 30 people in the room.
And maybe
at least minimum.
But people will want to listen to that story. But for, I don't know, for the like smaller scale, or maybe us, people don't. They don't want to hear us talk.
They don't really care.
No. So I just think.
Okay, but what about when you're like tuning or something?
You can say like, "Hey, this is this song, cool." Say, but hey. I don't think after every song, definitely don't. That's Charlie Springwater's top tip for the day: don't talk after every song,
and don't describe every song that you're playing.
Exactly.
This is this song, and we wrote this during that. 100%.
I've seen some bands do that.
Yeah,
just
play
it. And it's punishing.
My stage band is so bad. When Maud, my sister, who's in my other band, when she is tuning her guitar, I say, Maud's just tuning her guitar. And classic. Then it's silent while just she leave finishes it. Yeah, tuning.
Yeah. Even worse.
Is her name actually Maud?
Yeah, Maud, yeah.
That's such a good name.
Even worse than that is when we've had a few times Cormac, our guitar player, his pedal board will cock up or something will go wrong. And the classic, having some technical difficulties.
Yeah, that's a classic. Mm-hmm.
Then on the spot, think of a joke. But the first joke that always comes to mind is why... I had a joke about a skunk, but it really stunk. That reaction from you on stage.
When there's technical issues, you just get so flustered and you're like, how can I fix it? And then, like, we played it
we were playing at Rhythm and Vines, and it was so hot that our laptop overheated, and we run like tracks out of our laptop, and it overheated, and the song just like glitched out, and it just went crazy, and then like we were just like, oh god, what do we do? What do we talk about? We have nothing. Our computer, we had to like restart. It was, man.
Those are the moral of the story. Stage banter is so hard.
Yeah. And terrifying.
I think in those moments, like when your gear breaks down, because we've had that at a gig before.
Stage,
yeah, I think Rhythm and Vines is pretty punishing. But we've had some gear breakdowns before, and James is such a trooper because he just works so hard to get it back up and running. Yeah. But I think just play through. I think just play anything. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. And do your best to stay calm and don't look flustered. Even if you act so. The other band that I play in, Queen the Human, there was a power cut at our album release show.
Oh, that was great.
Mid-song. Everything went out, but we'd been playing together for a long time, and we just stopped, kind of shrugged our shoulders. I just grabbed a beer and just started drinking the beer, and our drummer just kept playing. Nothing else was happening. Just sitting there. We all just started having a chat, having a laugh. Singer looked at the crowd and had a laugh. Power came back on, counted back in, and just went.
Yeah, you guys, that was seamless.
But if you were flustered and you go, oh, bloody hell, what's going on? Then it's because Oliver Twist turned up something. Yeah, but like it just looks really, really bad. Like people feed off of that flustered energy. So you
sometimes
just
it can be like endearing and funny though, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of hard to, because unless you're in the moment doing it, you don't know what's going to happen. Eh? And it's different every time, like depending on who's in the room, what gig it is.
Yeah.
Oh, other banter tip. Never talk about some sort of sporting event that's just happened or is happening. I hate when people do that as well. Mm-hmm. How about the game tonight? I will leave that show.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, that's a definite nut.
Are we agreeing, though, that some banter is appropriate?
Yes.
That's the thing that I absolutely can't do. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've seen so many bands that just don't, like, they don't acknowledge that you're there, and you're like, yo, I've just driven all the way out to see, to, like, Lee Sawmill to see you, and you're not even going to acknowledge that I'm here.
Yeah, you've got to find that balance for sure.
Yeah, there's a fine
line, and especially a fine line between, I think, some acknowledging it and being like, no, this is... what's the word? Overindulging.
Yeah, some acts, very careful. I think, can get away with not acknowledging the crowd at all, but it has to be very specific.
It has to be a performative angle. Yeah. That has to be a decision. Yeah. Like it's like every decision Aldous Harding makes.
Yeah,
is a performative decision.
Yeah.
But still, I think like is your ego in check? Because like, are you not acknowledging the crowd because you think you're hot shit? Or
absolutely. Well, there was an interview with I think it was either Eric Clapton or Jaco Pastorius, a famous jazz bass player, and. He's very famous for walking on stage and not saying anything. He'll walk out and he'll just say, I'd like to say hello to my mother, and then they'll just start playing. And then he won't talk for another, like, 3-4 songs, and then he'll just, this is the band, and this next song's called this. Thank you guys so much for coming. Really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Until, like, 3 songs later, how are we feeling? And then, again, that's it. And then at the end of the night, thanks for coming.
That's enough, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that.
Thank you.
Stick with what you're comfortable with.
It's huge.
It's that respect, the mutual respect that you have to the crowd, but also for not talking because people don't go to hear them talk.
No way.
For me,
there has to be a bit.
For me, I feel like, and I say this a lot with acts that I'm working with, is that you've got to give people a reason to come to your show rather than go to any other show that night or actually just stay at home and watch TV or whatever. Like, it's actually a lot of effort for people to come out, so you've got to give them a reason to want to do that, and then you've got to thank them for doing that. Mm-hmm. And you do that by putting on the best show that you possibly can.
Yes.
And just being grateful. And I think that mindset totally changes how you engage with that show. Mm. Whether that's like, I'm going to thank you by us rehearsing for that, you know, that extra time through to make sure that we're absolutely tight and play the best we can, or at, like, you guys, the way that part of Beach We Set is you have beautiful lights that you add, and like that effort is that extra little element, like just little things like that, I think make a really, really big difference.
Yeah,
personality.
Yeah, and I couldn't imagine getting on stage and not wanting to give 110%. Are you up there for the right reasons? You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Well, otherwise, like, if you're not putting on a show and it's not, as you said, 110%,
what, like, people could just sit at home listening to your album.
Yeah.
With a bottle of Arrogant Frog.
Or three.
Or four.
Yeah, definitely the personal touches. Like, and then I think it makes you remember and enjoy the band more. Like, I saw Client Liaison last year, and they have these two giant water coolers on stage, one on each side of the stage. Huge. They're kind of like an 80s sort of throwback group from Australia. They're really cool. But they just have these two huge water coolers and these, like, fake pot plants. And I love telling people that story, and it was so cool. And I just think of that randomly, and I go, yeah, I'm going to put Client Liaison on and
have a good time.
Yeah.
Was there water in the water coolers?
No, they were big, just like these giant fake. They were like ridiculously large.
Imagine if there
was
water in there, and, like, you could just go up and have a drink if you wanted to.
They did throw cans of Foster's into the crowd as well, though. Like, it was a great performance. Nice. They had synchronized dancing. Like, the guy on the guitar came up the front and did a solo. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, they nailed it. Did a cover of, like, Need You Tonight by NXS. Like, just ticked so many boxes. Sweet. Like, it was a good show. I quite like, on the terms of banter, I like when bands slot it into a song.
Mm.
You know, like, if you get to the bridge and you just sit on the bridge and then the singer has a chat, I think that's quite a good way of doing things as well, because you don't have the silence. So even if you're like, how's everybody doing? And no one says anything, it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
Because the music is going. Like you said, if you're at those shows with 30 people, and you go, how are you doing tonight? And it's the worst, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in a song, it doesn't really matter. I quite like that.
Same with crowd involvement. Like, if you try, that's where banter is one of your biggest tools, I reckon, is you judge that off of how much you're going to involve a crowd during the night. Like, whether you chant or get people to sing back stuff or get them to jump or
try to start a clap.
The Lairs, famous for getting people in one of their last songs, they'll break the song right down to, like, strip it back to, like, nothing and get everyone to crouch down.
Yeah.
It's just, like, that kind of stuff you can judge off of how much the crowd's responding to banter.
Mm.
Probably the best at it is Minnie Simmons, shameless little plug. Their live show is amazing because they're just so, as we've been talking about, 110%, but it's the perfect balance of, it's a performance, it's a sound, and they involve the crowd enough but not too much without being self-indulgent or too crowd-indulgent. It's just perfect, boys.
Banter is an art, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should go do a degree in it, maybe.
Yeah, it's one of those things that people don't actually consider how difficult that actually is, and all the behind-the-scenes stuff that happens, you don't just go out and perform a set, you've rehearsed that set, like you would hope, so many times back and forth, including rehearsing banter and planning it out and curating each show for whatever venue you're playing and figuring out
who you're playing with, often detail which songs you're going to play, right?
Yeah.
What style you're going to lead into.
So much time and effort. How many hours would you rehearse a week, Josh? Because you're two different acts that I know of. I don't know if are you involved
no,
in
just
any
two.
Other.
I think
that's probably a limit.
I don't think
right?
I could do any more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a few, like two, three-ish, 2.5 hours, 3 hours, I guess, of Beachwear sometimes, and then like three-ish for Quinn the Human on the weekend. So yeah, Quinn used to be more, but as you said, with moving and things, been a band for a long time, we've moved and stuff, so we rehearse less. But yeah, about that.
And then including just like driving and organizing gear and chats during the week and planning things and gigs, like that would end up being a day a week really easily,
and then
every week
Beachwear group chat is all day every day.
We're passionate people about what we
how can you say, we can say
I'm gonna be honest,
so little for so many messages
sometimes I mute it because it just goes
it's been muted for 2 years for me. I just check it.
Just go back in there.
I have an addiction to checking it.
I've actually quit that, and it's just a bot running it for me. Have you noticed I say the same thing every time? It's not me. Yeah, it's just a robot. Yeah. Why are they always sending the 100 emoji? Yeah, it's just a robot. And then also, like you said, with shows and stuff as well, like you rehearse that stuff. If you're not a huge act, you take all your gear to the venue, you know? You pack it all in, you take it down, you drive it home. In terms of, like, doing that show, so coming to, like, having that banter after you've maybe spent a lot of time setting up and you're a little tired and tough.
Well, but that's also like, I don't know about for you guys, but I've, in all the years of rehearsing and playing and learning how to play instruments, and I don't think I've spent a single day, actually, I don't think I've spent more than 10 minutes like rehearsing stage banter,
never.
Stage engagement stuff.
Ever.
It's just something you don't really think about. And so when it happens, you're like, fuck, I probably should put more work on this. But then it's just one of those things that you're like...
It does come quite... it comes naturally to some people more than others. Like, yeah, absolutely. Jake, that's something that you're quite good at, but some very awkward people, yeah, or people who talk way too much. Like, I would have to practice stage banter because otherwise I'd just be spouting out so all sorts of shit.
Oh, it's worth having knowledge about because it's... Yeah, I find especially... it's different, like, talking on stage is so much different to talking off stage. Mm-hmm.
The thing about practicing, though, is I've found that Morden and I end up saying the same thing at every show. And then, like, the same people come and watch us and they're like, you said that joke last time.
Yeah, that's the classic.
Now, we have come to the end of the show. We've just got a couple of minutes left. Beachwear and Jake from Joe's Van. I was going to say... Joe's Van, but there's only one of you, so I felt like Tess could just temporarily be a member of Joe's Van.
Yes,
she stepped up to the mic, everyone, just for those who can't see her right now.
I always wanted to be part of a band.
I'll get you a Joe's Van t-shirt next time.
She's got a beachwear one on at the moment, mate. I'm gonna have to wait your turn.
I'm taking that back.
So I went to a party. I'll briefly plug this t-shirt. I went to a party on Friday. And I bought a t-shirt and I got the band to sign it, and it's a beachwear t-shirt, and you can get them off the Instagram and they're really cool. I actually haven't paid for it, guys.
If you want the t-shirt signed, could you just request?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Will you write the same thing on everyone's t-shirts, Josh?
No.
What would you like to tell everybody what it says on mine? It
says Forever Yours, XX.
So if people want to like see what's happening next with Joe's Van, where can they do that?
I mean, there's a lot of the different avenues. You can come to my house.
What's the address?
Number 40.
Apparently go to Olivia's house.
You can find out the information on our Instagram, which is just Joe's Van.
Joe's Van Music.
Joe's Van Music. I'm sorry.
She was
got a terrible memory. And
that's right.
Yeah. Well, you can come to our show, which is next Saturday,
12th of October.
Is it
next?
If you go to next Saturday and then you keep going for a few Saturdays,
yeah,
approximately three,
yeah.
So just keep turning up. It's at Portland Public House, and Park Up Collective is doing it.
Great job, Tess.
It's going to be great.
Yep, awesome. And you can listen to their music on Spotify.
It's going
to
be awesome.
And Beachwear, your socials are Beachwear Band.
Yeah, it is.
And you guys have a bunch of shows coming up, and people can get the info about that on your Instagram.
Yeah, or our website, or Facebook.
Cool. We are just about to be cut off. We're really getting to the end here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember to go out there this week and kick some arts, and thanks for joining us on tonight's episode, and I will see you in about a month. Thanks. Bye. Yeah, love it. Baby, love those reviews. Oh, reviews.